Ladies, welcome to our Bible study segment. We are in the book of Esther. Now here's our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert.
Hey there, Amy. Okay, so yesterday we got to meet Mordecai and we got to see his lineage and we kind of get a glimpse of how God has really been pulling the strings behind the scenes, even if God is not mentioned specifically in this book. Today we're going to continue reading, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Esther chapter 2. Will be in verses 12 through 18. Now, when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Ahasuerus after being 12 months under the regulations for the women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and ointments for women, when the young woman went into the king in this way, she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening she would go in, and in the morning she would return to the second harem in custody of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. When the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter to go in to the king, she asked for nothing except what Hegai, the king's eunuch, who had charge of the women, advised. Now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her, and when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king gave a great feast for all his officials and servants. It was Esther's feast. He also granted a remission of taxes to the provinces and gave gifts with royal generosity. Okay, so remember that Esther had been given special treatment from Hegai, and her beauty treatments were better than those that the other virgins received. And seriously, as I read this, all I can think is, I don't think I could handle 6 months of oil of myrrh and 6 months of perfumes and cosmetics. Can you imagine? Do you see how much worth was being placed in the appearance of these women? All so that they would appear before the king as was befitting to appear before him. But once the women had completed their beauty rituals, they then entered into the presence of the king. And when they went in, after all having had the beauty treatments, they were allowed to bring with them anything they asked for. Nothing was denied her that might aid her in this opportunity. If one of them could play an instrument, she could ask that it be brought, and she could play her instrument for the king. If one of them wanted specific jewelry or adornments that flattered her appearance, she was given that. Each woman was allowed to plead her case, as it were, to make the best impression they could on the king. She truly only got one shot at this. There wasn't a round two unless the king decided to offer a round two. She would be sent to the king in the evening, sort of like a blind date, and returned to the harem in the morning, and would be placed with the king's concubines from then on, so no other man could have access to her. And she would never appear before the king again, unless he remembered her name and called her to him. Notice the timing, too. The king was busy during the day with affairs of state, but in the evening he would relax at his meal and entertainment. This is when these women were brought to the king. They were, for lack of better phrasing, the entertainment for him at this time. Now, do you see how truly icky this whole thing was for a woman who didn't want to be there? Just being picked to come for the queen tryout meant you were never going to leave the palace again. Your life as you knew it was done. In one way or another, you weren't returning home. You were either going to end up in the harem as a concubine, or you would be the queen. You weren't going to return home after this. When Esther's turn came, she did exactly as Hegai told her to do, and nothing more or less. She didn't try to solicit the favor of the king to excess, because she wasn't really seeking to be the queen, but she also didn't deliberately sabotage herself. She wasn't really concerned whether the king liked her or not. Esther was brought here not because she answered an ad, but because she was selected and required to go to the palace to be a prospective wife for the king. Interesting, isn't it, that with the quote-unquote bare minimum, Esther was greeted with universal enthusiasm? Everyone who saw her favored her as the choice for queen. So what did she bring with her to win this approval? She brought her virtue, her modesty, and her beauty. No pretense. and as a result, this breath of fresh air won the favor of everyone who saw her. Everyone. As soon as they saw her, it was a done deal, and Esther would be the new queen. A banquet was thrown in her honor, and a holiday was proclaimed as the king celebrated his selection of his new bride. Amazing how much preparation for these women went into this event, and then suddenly, it's all over. And there's only one who could have orchestrated this so that Esther alone would find this favor and be made queen. God. God is the one directing this scene. Now remember that Esther started with a banquet, right? The one where the king directed his first queen, Vashti, to come to him and she refused? Well, now that we have a new queen, there's another celebration and another banquet. It was good to be a friend of the king at this point because instead of giving him gifts to celebrate his new bride, he gave you gifts. And thus the deal is sealed and Esther enters into a new chapter of her life. Now, as you read this, you may think, oh, nice narrative, but where's the meat? Well, as I was reading this, several things struck me, as they tend to do, so here you go. Esther and all the women spent a full year in an effort to be fit to be in the presence of the king. They smelled nice, they wore beautiful garments, so that when the king looked on them, he saw what was pleasing to him. But who was it that provided all of those garments and baths? The king did. He made them beautiful. He made them able to act to be in his presence. Well, even if we were to spend our whole lives trying to change the stench of our sin to a pleasing aroma, even if we were to spend our whole lives trying to dress ourselves up enough to be able to come into our king's presence, we'd fail. Yet the coolest part of that for me is that we don't have to do that, because Christ did it for us. We come before our king, our God, clean, shining, washed with Christ's blood. We come into his presence and he sees us as pleasing to him, not because of anything we've done, because of what he did. He clothed us with his righteousness. We didn't have any righteousness of our own, so he provided it. Just as Ahasuerus had Hegai wash the girls and clothe them in beautiful clothes, so too has our God sent his Son to wash us and clothe us in his righteousness so we would be fit to stand before a king. Ladies, this part of Esther right here is a reminder that we are Christ's bride, and he is our bridegroom. He has called us to him to be his bride, and we come with nothing to offer him. Still, he provides what is necessary for us to draw near to him. The cleansing, the new clothes are all from him, not from us. Our dowry is not only lacking, but actually a detractor to the suitor. Who would want a sin-stained bride covered in the mire and muck of all of her sin? Christ does. He wants us. He wants his people, his body, his church, and he wants us so much that he paid the price for us so we can draw near to God. How cool is that? We come offering nothing. He still chooses us. So, ponder that thought for a bit today. Are you living like a chosen bride, chosen by a bridegroom who had his eyes wide open to what he was choosing, and he chose you anyway? Or are you living in the mud still, afraid to wash off the dirt and slime and put on those beautiful clothes that are waiting for you for fear you'll ruin them? Feel his love today, ladies, because he does love you. He died for you so you could be in his presence. He loves you more than you and I can ever fathom.
Well, thank you, Beth. And ladies, that lesson that you just heard is available in a 10-minute audio segment on our website today, along with the individual study guide for today. And look for it at naomistable.com under the Bible Study tab. You can use these as a study for yourself or to teach women around your own table. Nancy and I will be back to talk more about today's lesson in just a moment. Mm-hmm.